Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day. We continue on with our overview of the New Testament. We are now in the book of Revelation, and we are in chapter 4. You know, it's the only book in the Bible, as I mentioned before, that offers us the blessings for the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His holy and precious Word in the first chapter, and also a blessing at the end of the book. Now, I know a lot of people say, "Preacher, why do you want to study the book of Revelation? None of that stuff makes any sense to me." Well, the book of Revelation is probably one of the most mysterious portions of the Bible, and I agree. And it's filled with symbolism, metaphors, word pictures, sweeping action. And for centuries, scholars have disagreed about the meaning of these prophetic portraits. But several things are very clear. First, the book is more about Jesus than any other of the events described in the New Testament, because the revelation of Jesus Christ, calling itself, that is the revelation from Jesus Christ. It's His words. It's His message to us. And the word revelation, or the apocalypse, simply means unveiling. So the book of Revelation is about unveiling the things that Jesus is talking about. Second, it is written to real churches facing challenges, just like we are today, with the intended message to comfort and to encourage those who are facing trials. Are we facing trials today? Yeah, I think so. And then the third thing is the story of Revelation is about reversing the effects of our first parents. You remember who they were? You bet. Adam and Eve. And they were, as we are, restored by Christ's victory. And we know the victory because it comes to us as we look later on in chapters 21 and 22. But I wanted to share something with you as we looked at the church of Laodicea last week as one of the other churches. And as I mentioned, the church age that we are in most likely is in the church of Laodicea. But think about things that are talked about there. I know all things about you, Jesus says, and He goes on. But my question is about us, about the enthusiasm that we have for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we do a self-analysis of ourselves, how do we truly feel about sharing the gospel, about praying and about witnessing? I think all of us can honestly say that we are enthused about these things, and I hope and pray that you are. Or, as it says in the Church of Laodicea, are you lukewarm or indifferent about God and all the things that relate to Him? Is the church a joy to you, or is the church a duty? You see, there are spiritual disciplines, and mere drudgery comes along with it. I know that. Lack of enthusiasm is the signal to us that it means that we have lost our sensitivity to the joy and the holiness of God, that we have allowed other concerns to dull our spiritual senses and other activities that rob us of our energy. And if your spiritual life has lost its appeal, then it's time to reignite your fire of enthusiasm. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And how do you do that, preacher? Well, you confess the problem to God and then commit yourself to the extra time and continue more in God's Word. Be more involved in God's work and put yourself in a position to be affected by the Holy Spirit and the enthusiasm of other believers. Amen. Now, chapter 4, the overview in chapter 4, and this is about worship. Worship in heaven. New Living Translation says this: "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had before spoke to me with the sound of a mighty trumpet. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things.' And instantly I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, jasper and carnelian, and a glow encircled around him like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, 24 elders sat on him, and they were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, and a rumble of thunder. And in the front of the throne was the seven lampstands with burning flames. They are the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne, it was like a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings had the form of a lion. The second looked like an ox. And the third had a human face. And the fourth had the form of an eagle with wings spread out as though it was in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes inside and out. Day and night after night they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was always, and who is, and who is still to come." And whenever the living beings gave glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. And they laid their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. May God add his reading blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Amen. God bless you. Hope you're enjoying the overview.